Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
I'm preaching this morning from the Old Testament, first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" Another translation says, "Why has your countenance fallen? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Here in Genesis chapter 4, we find the familiar story of Abel and Cain and how Cain rose up in anger and perhaps jealousy and he murdered his own brother. But what I want to point out to you here in these verses that I've chosen to preach from this morning is that at this point in time, this heinous act of violence had not yet occurred. At this point in time, Cain's path, his future, was yet to be determined. His life could have gone either way. That is why today I am a firm believer in free will. God created us with the ability to choose. God created Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden with the ability to choose. God could have created us as robots. But then we would not have the opportunity to choose to love Him, to choose to obey Him, and to serve Him. There's an illustration that I've used many times over there. Those of you who've heard me preach for many, many years, maybe you remember this, maybe not. But I remember one Christmas when I was a child, my sister Beth, she's 1 year younger than I am, and she wanted this special doll one Christmas. I forgot what the name of the doll was. But it's one of those dolls, you know, that has a string and a ring in the back. And you pull the string and there's a recorded message. And I remember this doll, you pull the string, you know, and the arms went up. And then there was some message. There were several different messages of affection. You know, like, "I love you." God could have created us like that. But we're not puppets on a string. We're not actors on a stage acting out some predetermined script. We are free moral agents. God has given us the ability to make choices, and those choices that we make determine the outcome. If you were here last Sunday, maybe you were, maybe you weren't. I preached last Sunday morning from a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They're almost identical with the exception of just one little phrase. Paul was emphasizing the message that he wanted to communicate. And Paul said, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful." But he says, "I'm not going to be brought under the power of anything." God placed Adam and Eve in paradise. It was all theirs to enjoy. With just one exception, just one restriction. And Adam and Eve, they exercised their free will in such a way as to bring themselves and all of humanity under the power of sin and death. But I want you to hear this morning. I do not believe today that anyone is born predetermined for hell. I don't believe that. No one is born a predetermined murderer the moment they're born. Or a sex offender. Or a criminal or an alcoholic. You can fill the blank. No one is born in that way. No, there may be contributing factors. I understand that. Of what people become, what people do. But somewhere along the line, there are choices. Adam and Eve had a choice. Judas had a choice. And Cain had a choice. What I want you to see very clearly this morning is that while Cain was in this in-between moment, God was there to help him to make the right choice. God said, Cain, why are you so angry? There are a lot of people today, they're walking around, they're filled with anger and bitterness, and they're making choices based upon bad emotion. We need to be careful in our dealings with people and situations and the decisions that we make, that negative emotion doesn't override good reason and good judgment. I've been teaching from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is very interesting because it covers such a wide variety of subjects. And this past Wednesday evening, the subject was self-control. There's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. And look at this verse, Proverbs 25:28. Whoever has no rule over his spirit. Let me pause right there, because God said to Cain, you must rule over it. Cain, exercise your spiritual authority. Exercise your choice in such a way that you will not be destroyed. So here we find in God's Word, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Oh boy, we would all do well with that one, wouldn't we? Self-control. It's the ninth fruit of the Spirit. Begins with love, ends with self-control. I've never believed that was an accident. God organized it like that. Love at one end, self-control at the end, other end. And you see, I believe this. With the fruit of the Spirit, the ninth fruit of the Spirit, self-control, it would solve just about all of the problems in the world today. You know, people use this term, gun control. Is it really gun control the problem, or is it self-control? I mean, I could mention any number of issues that people discuss and argue about and so forth. But when someone goes in with a gun or a knife or a baseball bat or these roving mobs go into stores and just take whatever they want, it is a problem of self-control, isn't it? Okay, no amens on that. It's all right. I'm going to keep preaching no matter what. Whatever the problem is, we are living today in the last days in a world that is out of control. This world is out of control. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, and what? Without self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good. Let me stop right there on that, despisers of good. We're living in days that are so evil where people can't even agree upon what's right for children. There's this movie that came out, Sound of Freedom. I don't know if any of you saw that movie. I was pretty reluctant to check it out because of the subject matter. When it comes to children, it's hard to even think about the things that are happening to kids. And that movie's about the trafficking and of children and so forth. But based on the recommendation of people I trust, Jamie and I went and saw that movie. I think, given the subject matter, I think it was very tastefully done, very well done. I would recommend it for adults because it shines a light on the problem. You know, we're living Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. We're living in a totally evil world where people are trying to redefine what a pedophile is. It's sick. What's happening to children? And, you know, I was talking about that movie. There are people who, they're critics. They're criticizing that movie. How can you criticize trying to help children? That's how sick this world is. Despisers of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, all of this with Cain. Please catch this here in this message. All of this comes within the context of worship and relationships. The worship of God. How we relate to God. How we worship Him. How we treat others. And there are three lessons that I'm going to draw out this morning. I'm not going to drag out these lessons that I have this morning. We'll get to those in a moment. But before we even get to that, I want you to notice carefully here that God gave Cain a warning and a way out. Here's the warning. Sin is at the door and its desire is for you. Folks, listen to me. Sin is like a crouching animal waiting to pounce upon its prey. When I was in seminary, I had a professor that would tell us young prospective preachers, he would say on more than one occasion, he would say, look at us and say, sin will eat your lunch. It's true, isn't it? And so we have this warning. And then we have a way out. You must rule over it. What is it? What's it? The it is whatever sin, whatever negative emotion that would overtake your life and lead you to life-changing, destructive choices. I want you to look at these verses here. And I want you to see a flow and a connection here between the heart, the tongue, and actions, okay? Look at this. This first one here, I believe, really deals with what's inside the heart. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to fall short of the grace of God. Do you? Lest any root of bitterness, that's something that comes from within the heart. Jesus said it's out of the heart. That murder comes out of the heart. Theft comes out of the heart. Adultery comes out of the heart. All these things come from within. The actions are just the end product of what's in the heart. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And then the tongue, words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. James said, and the tongue is like a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. So you have the heart, you have the tongue. And then look at this, what Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, and 35 concerning actions. For out of the abundance of the heart, do you see that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. It's right. What I'm talking about here this morning is the heart. It's all about the heart. And so I want you to see this flow, the heart, the tongue, actions, because you see, here's the deal. What we believe in our hearts, we speak, and what we speak, we do. And so, Cain, the story of Cain, is a story that's more about the heart than it is the act of murder. Follow me here. Whatever story that we write in our lives, it's going to come from the heart. How we relate to God, how we relate to others, comes from the heart. Love God, love people. The story of Cain and Abel is, first of all, I want you to see it. This is a story about worship, okay? It's a story about worship. Here comes Cain and Abel. They're coming to sacrifice. They're coming in worship to give their offering. Abel comes with an animal offering, a blood sacrifice. Cain has a fruit offering. And there are people, and I've read every kind of argument there is on this subject. There are people who say, well, the problem was the offering. Abel's offering was better than Cain's. And they talk about the quality of the offering, that because Abel gave a blood offering and Cain gave a fruit offering, that the problem was the offering. I do not believe that, because both of those kinds of offerings are accepted in the Old Testament. I believe today that this is all about heart and attitude, because that's what God is always after when it comes to worship. He's looking at the heart, the attitude that we have in worship, not just going through the motions. And so I want to share three lessons here. I'm just going to move through this today in this message. Three lessons from the story of Cain and Abel. Number one, lesson number one, God accepts our worship on what is in our hearts, not what is in our hands. We look at what's in hand, but the Bible tells us that God does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. I want you to see this story here where Jesus was observing worship, and he was observing all these religious people going in to worship. And look at this. He looked up and saw the rich putting in their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. For they all gave out of the surplus that they had. They put that into the offering. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Now, Jesus saw what was in hand. He was observing what was in hand. But I believe it went beyond that. And he saw the heart. He saw the attitude. God, how many of you know today, God loves a cheerful giver? See? You see, giving? God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a willing sacrifice. One day Jesus said to the religious people, he said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. So what I'm saying here this morning is ritual without heart does not and never will satisfy God. And so, in my first lesson here from this story, Abel was accepted and Cain was rejected because of the heart, not the offering. You know, sometimes people look at that story, why did God reject Cain? There was a heart problem. Here's lesson number two. I love this. This is what I love about God. God is so good. God is so merciful that He gives us the opportunity to get it right and to change course. God said to Cain, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? I tried to think of an example that I could give you about what I'm preaching on this particular point. And to me, a perfect example is the story of the prodigal son. Here the prodigal son was. He had everything that anybody could probably ever want. He was living with his father, but his head and his heart got all messed up. And he said, I'm just going to go out into the far country. I'm going to live it up and have a good time and be my own person and whatnot. And he ended up at the bottom. He ended up broken and destitute. But he came to the Bible says he came to his senses. And he rose up and he said, I'll go back to my father and perhaps he'll let me be just one of the servants. You know the story. Probably the greatest story ever told. I'll just go back and be one of the servants. But here's the kind of God that we serve and love. He went back and his father was there. Saw him coming from far off and he was moved with compassion and he ran out to his son. And no, there wasn't going to be any servant stuff. He accepted him back as his son. If we get it right, God's there to accept us. Ephesians 1:6, we are accepted. 1 John 1:9, you want to hear some good news? If we confess our sins, remember the rest of that? He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2:1. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus, our forerunner, is there to plead our cause. He's there to accept us, to forgive us. The good news today, praise God, is that our God is so patient. So long-suffering. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that He's patient with you? He gives us the opportunity to turn it around if we choose to do so. He's there to forgive, to accept us, and to change us. You know, the Bible says in James, God is saying, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. We can, how close you want to get to God, that's up to you. It's a choice. Draw near to Him. That's a choice you have to make. And purpose in your heart to make. Okay. Lesson number 3. When sin rules, there's no limit to evil. And when sin is ruling, people, human beings are capable of just about any kind of evil. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all else. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart has to be changed by the grace of God. Cain allowed sin to rule over him, and as a result, he murdered his own brother. But here's how I want to bring this message to a close today. Follow me here. We were looking at Genesis, the first few chapters of Genesis, and there's some tragic stories there. You have Adam and Eve. They foolishly chose to disobey God and suffered the consequences. You have Cain being filled with anger and rising up and murdering his brother. But what I like is at the end of the book of Genesis, there's a good example. And it's the one I want to close with today. It's the example of Joseph. You remember what happened to Joseph? He was betrayed by his own family. You talk about hurt. His own family turned against him, sold him into slavery. Then he was falsely accused and cast into prison. All these bad things happened to Joseph. But when Joseph had his brothers, God raised Joseph up. You read in the Bible over and over again, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Even in the book of Acts, the Lord was with Joseph. And God raised him up. And here he was, second in command. And his brothers came and they're standing there. Now, Joseph could have just said, right there with a snap of his fingers, they would have been dead on the spot. Joseph could have allowed anger and all these negative emotions to rule over him, to take over his life. But he didn't. And as his brothers stood before him, Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? You meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good." You see, how many of you believe today God's a good God? People have all kinds of misunderstandings about God, and we do this projection thing. We try to project these things upon God. You know, God is the policeman. God is the mean parent. All these different things that we try to put on God. But God is a merciful, loving God. And Joseph said, "You meant evil against me. God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." It was Joseph could see the plan of salvation. And you know what the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 17? Jesus came into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There's no sin that God cannot forgive. Even murder. You say, what's the unpardonable sin? You've heard me say, I don't know if you agree with me or not. I don't really, if you don't want to agree with me, that's fine, because I'm not going to change what I'm going to tell you right now. What people say, okay, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's the unpardonable sin. What is that? What I believe, and I always have believed for many, many years, what is the job of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit came to testify of Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit's testifying to someone and they say, through their free will, they say no, how can they be forgiven? That's the only sin that I know of that God cannot forgive. Now, I know that people get seared in their conscience if they do something that's really bad and they keep doing it. Yeah, they can get to the point of no return. But I believe today that there's no sin that God cannot forgive. And He gives us the opportunity. And maybe you're here today and maybe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to your heart. Maybe not just here in this service, but God's been speaking to you. Maybe there's some stronghold in your life. Folks, listen, we need to get free. How do we expect the world to get free if we don't get free? And He's here to help us.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His word. Blessings.